Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
So it's a Mark Reardon show. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today, but the music is all Sue Thomas getting her 70s groove on.
Come on, it's LTD.
We got stacks and stacks of hot wax. Woo! Spill them for your pleasure.
Every time I hear music, I feel like I'm doing a Biden. You know, it just doesn't move when the music plays. You guys are bopping around in your seats. I have real trouble moving my body in rhythm with music. Fred, so I just kind of stand there and nod.
Well, give me another week of Sue's music. I think I could have you move it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I think I got it.
You know, the thing I like about Sue's tunes, I know them. So,
yes.
I appreciate the eclectic nature of Mark Reardon.
Yes.
And he turns me on to things from time to time that I'm like, you know, if you hadn't played that, I never would have heard of that artist. I didn't know anything about them.
Right.
He buys tickets to these shows that come to town. And he's like, oh, I'm going to see blah, blah, blah tonight. I'm like, really? I've never heard of blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Like, oh, yeah, I've got all their albums. I'm like, wait, they have more than one? Oh, yeah, they've been around for 20 years. Really? Okay. How do you make a living as a band when you've never had a hit, but you've been touring? I guess you get like these cult classics or something.
And a lot of it's just internet and Spotify.
Yeah,
and
you can really build
your own audience.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Well, I mean, there's a lot
we
of...
need to do.
Yeah, we need to put
Sue's
together
News.
Our own channel.
Sue's News can do that.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. Well,
wait,
hey.
Do you have
ahead.
Time for me to tie together?
Yes,
some
go
that's
ahead.
What
okay.
I was say. Fred couple has
things,
an update. A
couple things. Like promises made, promises kept. We were talking about the World's Fair, you know, debuting, opening in 1904 on this date. Yes, yesterday.
Yesterday.
So, and Ethan says he hasn't heard much about it, so I brought in two books for you to take a look at, all about the World's Fair.
Well, thank you.
So that's awesome
welcome.
If he
so
could
you
read.
Can bring yourself up to speed on that. Another one, maybe a week or so ago, Mark, Sue, Jane, Ethan, and I were talking about favorite movies. And
yes.
Sound of Music came up for Sue's.
Oh, I love it so much.
And I told her there's this amazing table... top book for you.
No
so there you go.
Way.
The Sound of Music.
No oh, Fred.
So you've got that there.
That's
my niece,
awesome.
Kelsey, loves The Sound of Music.
It's
Julie
fabulous.
Andrews is like her
yes.
person.
Yes.
See, I could take it or leave it.
Oh,
I'm
I don't
I'm
even
with
know
you.
What to say
yeah,
to you people.
I know.
Julie
yeah.
Andrews is a gift from God. And that movie is so awesome. Oh, Fred, this is awesome.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Now, the other thing is, Mike, you weren't here, but last week we were talking about some postal horror stories.
Yes.
Oh.
Sue lost or had her one of her items stolen.
And they put other people's mail in the box to make it feel weighted.
So I heard you talking about that. And not to cut off Fred's story,
no.
The thing that made me think about that was that had to be done in the factory, didn't it? And it made me think about the fact of, is somebody just putting the wrong thing in the wrong box? Because I bought a battery for my lawnmower, a replacement battery. And when I got it, it had been repackaged when it got to my house. But you know more.
Well, it can't be because mine was stolen out and someone else's mail was put in it.
But it
That doesn't happen at the factory. It's in my zip code, and it was a guy who lives three or four blocks from me.
It was actual mail?
Yes,
it
was
mail. Oh, I misunderstood that it was mail. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was something else that was going to a guy down the street from you, but okay.
No.
I'm with
you. The package.
In the
my
package.
My stuff was gone, and
but
his...
you said the tape was, it was retaped.
No, like the tape wasn't
hadn't
broken.
Been broken.
They had gotten into the bottom of the box, which was perforated, pushed it up, took my stuff out, put his mail in so it would feel weighted, and the person delivered it.
And now back to Fred's story.
Well, and it just follows off of Sue's. I got back from our trip. My wife, Marie, and I made a trip to Japan about 5 weeks ago. We came back.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And we bought tons of souvenirs for our two sons, Shane and Noah. Shane's in New York City. Noah's in Washington, D.C. So we boxed up all the souvenirs we had and sent them off right away through the Postal Service to their you know, homes. And Noah got his in 5 days, which I guess kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Shane never got his.
Oh.
And he's New York City.
And he's New York City. He's in Brooklyn. So it was a very frustrating and disappointing for us.
Yeah.
Because we, you know.
Yeah.
You brought him from halfway around the world.
That's right. A lot of personal things that we picked out specifically for him. So we were just devastated and, you know, Postal Service couldn't find it. They didn't know what was going on. And then they started saying, well, it was delivered.
It was.
So then maybe it was picked up out of his locked lobby.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but there's a whole bunch of things that you just couldn't think about it. So we were just so frustrated that we just finally just gave up on it, thought it would never show up. And we did what we just went to try and manage our sorrow. So
right.
So we, you know, started ordering the things that we bought or similar things online from Japan.
Oh, wow.
And we got in touch with our
tour
director in Japan.
Oh, gosh,
and
Fred.
She knew some of the things and where to get some things. So she bought some things and sent them to us.
How sweet.
So that took 4 weeks
for
us to kind of rebuild all the things that we had lost. So we got our whole box together. And yesterday, Marie went to UPS.
Now we're talking.
So we're avoiding the Postal Service.
Well learned.
And took it to UPS and was like, you know, said, what guarantee do I have that this is going to be there? And like, oh, you're overreacting. This stuff always shows up. And she's like, you don't know our history here.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this wasn't the first thing that went missing.
Yes.
That we sent. So, you know, she had it signed for where it has to be signed to get it. And so that's in the mail now the way to replace everything. However, yesterday afternoon, Shane sent me a picture of a letter that he got in the mail from the man who lives behind him.
No way.
Yep. And it says, Dear Shane, please see attached photo of your parcel that was mistakenly delivered to my address on 5th Street instead of yours on 4th Street.
Look at that.
Apologies for not contacting you sooner than 4 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
But I've been busy. Please, okay. If you want to receive your package, please come by and pick it up. This has happened many times before, and I'm tired of delivering things to your address.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a never-ending saga,
yeah.
Fred.
So
he's getting two boxes.
He opened all the original stuff. He opened it last night. We did sort of a Zoom call with him so we could see him open everything.
That's cool.
And then in 5 days, he's going to get
another one.
Duplicates. There you go.
So now he'll have like 4 Tokyo hats instead of 2. 4 T-shirts instead of 2.
Just don't know. And the problem is, like on mine or Fred's, of course, eventually shows, is it mismanaged? Did someone steal it? Or did someone actually, it's just a mess.
I did get a Christmas card in March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
We had
showed up.
Somebody called and said they saved the date for their sister's wedding.
That was Shane's roommate.
That just happened to us also a couple of days ago. We just got one.
Save the date from something that already happened.
You save the date. She's already married.
I know we got to get going here and get to Sue's news, but I've been flipping through these books that, Fred, you just gave me.
Oh.
And there's some great pictures in here as well. Where did all of these buildings go?
They took them down.
They tore them down.
A temporary substance. It was almost like plaster of Paris. And they put them all up and took them all down. The only thing that remains is the art museum and the birdcage.
Right.
And that's it.
Isn't one of the fountains in Forest Park from there from it as well? The Cascade?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Part of it, but not the whole thing. But that the building
or
they
like
took
the waterfall
it all down.
Part.
Well,
wow, that's interesting.
All those homes across the street from the, not all of them, but a lot of the homes across the street from the Chase Park Plaza were built for visiting dignitaries who were there. Because some of those, they had like governors and things from foreign countries who came over and they stayed in them.
It's fascinating.
It
Very
is.
Interesting. Thanks for giving
yep,
me Let me look at those, Fred. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry. I
I'm
was
done.
Waiting for you to hit an intro.
Oh.
I wasn't even going to say anything.
I was waiting for you to say something, but sounds good.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
On this day in history, 58 years ago, that's in 1967, Fred.
Okay.
32-year-old Elvis Presley married 21-year-old Priscilla at the Aladdin Hotel in Vegas. They separated in 1971. Elvis filed for divorce in 1973. I remember reading somewhere that she said after she had given birth to Lisa Marie, it kind of threw him off. And in other words, he was looking at her as a mother figure to their daughter rather than a wife. And it kind of didn't work out for him.
That
Yeah.
You're not the young girl I married.
Yeah. Well, that and some other stuff.
Yes.
And also on this day in history, 36 years ago, this cracks me up. In 1989, police in California were called to a jewelry store. After employees reported a suspicious person, they're like, listen, there's something's going on in here. Turned out to be Michael Jackson shopping in disguise. He was just wore like a low hat and put it was just, he's so weird. They called police.
Probably the monkey was a giveaway.
Well, it could be. Here are a few things. It's May 1st. People, happy May Day.
Yay! Yeah.
There are a few things to look forward to in May. In sports, of course, it's the NBA and the NHL playoffs. They continue. Kentucky Derby is Saturday.
Ooh.
Then the Preakness on May 17th. The PGA Championship starts on May 15th. We've got the Indy 500 on May 25th.
Wow.
And the French Open starts on the same day.
Oui, manure.
That's good stuff.
Uh-huh. In movies, Thunderbolts hits the theaters tomorrow. So does Alec Baldwin, Rust, you know, the movie that all that happened in.
Yeah, where he actually shot the cinematographer.
Yes. And it's more than 3 years after that event. They're also going to do a video on demand release of Rust on that same day. I wonder how, I don't know, people feel about that. I'm sure people will want to see it. But if you were Alec or if you were the woman that passed away, I don't know if you'd really.
I can only imagine what her family's thinking
about
that.
That's what I mean. I just, Also, Friendship with Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd opens this month. And, of course, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. Happens on May 23rd, and they've got a new live-action Lilo. Is it Lilo and Stitch?
Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. And on TV, David Spade's new stand-up special is going to Prime next Tuesday. They've got Murderbot with Alexander Skarsgård. That premieres on Apple TV on the 16th. And then season 5 of Lego Masters. I've never watched that, Fred.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
It seems like a family-ish show. I can't believe they've made it to this many seasons, but okay.
Is anybody a David Spade fan?
He amuses me on the podcast, but not a movie.
And his stand-up, when I've seen his stand-up, I'm like, yeah, I don't get it.
Is David Spade the guy that does the really good George Bush?
No.
No.
No, who's that?
It's Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
They have a podcast, Dana Carvey and David Spade, and it's kind of adorable, the two of them together. But
I think he's funny in the Happy Madison movies.
Oh, there you go.
Adam Sandler's movies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those roles fit him pretty well. But I haven't seen him in much besides that, probably.
You prefer that to Sound of Music.
Depends which one. Thank you.
It would be better with Julie Andrews.
Oh,
headed,
my
right?
goodness.
There you go.
What wouldn't? And also Star Wars Day, of course, May the 4th, National Teachers Day the 6th, and National Hamburger Day is May 28th.
Every day is National Hamburger Day.
You know, didn't we find a really good smash burger at Ott's Tavern when we were in Millstadt.
Yes, we did. Oh, man, it's that was good.
You know,
wait, where's Odd's Tavern?
In Millstadt, Illinois.
Ah, okay.
I'm still salty about not being able to go to that one.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Sorry about that.
Somebody has to do the hard work back here.
Mm-hmm. Fred found this story. Okay, I need to mention this. Nobody on this show, Mike Elam, understands 3D printing.
Really?
Zero people.
Why?
Look, even Ethan, none of us, what? You feed something in and suddenly you got a house? I don't get it.
I know it takes forever to do because my son Shane has a 3D printer.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, I'll make you a chip clip. And how long is it going to take? 7 hours. Really? Really? 7 hours?
Okay, and a chip clip. Okay, I get that. You put a little plastic in. But buildings boggles my mind.
Watching,
that is amazing.
Watching a 3D house being printed, that is pretty cool.
I mean,
and how they do that with the... It's all concrete when they make the walls and everything. It's really cool.
Well, Starbucks is opening its first 3D printed store in this country. And they're doing it in Brownsville, Texas. Using a computer-controlled robotic arm for construction. Now, the drive-through only location, it's just a drive-through. It's a unique experiment of Starbucks, and they've got like the ridged walls that look like, I guess, kind of stacked tubes. And they're giving it a shot. Construction experts see the store as an example of the industry exploring the use of 3D printing technology for commercial construction. Have you watched this one on TV, Mr. Showoff? I get it.
I have watched it. Well, I don't know that I understand, but I appreciate the technology. How about that?
Well, yes.
The small 3D printing things.
Okay. Get it.
I mean, it's super expensive, and it's early technology. I get that it's early technology. One day, I think it'll be cool. It's not necessarily cool yet.
The
house thing is cool, though.
Yeah. Well, Amazon is planning on adding 200 delivery stations in the U.S. to the tune of $4 billion by the end of 2026. The idea is to better serve rural areas and small towns with faster delivery times.
Okay.
And when the products are closer to the customers, obviously shipping is faster, and that's why it's become super fast in the city. I mean, you can order something and get it the next day. According to Amazon, each new delivery station will create about 170 jobs. And then I saw a story yesterday that UPS was reducing its workforce by 20,000 jobs.
Yeah.
And UPS will only deliver half of the amount of packages it has been doing for Amazon. And it's hoping to become smaller and more nimble. Just kind of get back control of what they have. Hmm.
I bet delivering for Amazon is probably like selling a product through Walmart. They kind of own you at that point.
Yes.
It determines so much of everything.
Like Walmart,
the crowd did not like that.
Uh-uh. Mm. And finally in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Well, we've covered a little bit of this, but I'm going to mention it again. Here, instead of the most odd things found in lost luggage, we're going to talk about the most commonly found items in lost luggage. Underwear. Women's size 10 pants. Men's size 11 Nike sneakers and iPhones.
iPhones?
Those are the most common?
Most common found.
I'm a size 11.
And lost. See?
Just saying.
Mm-hmm. There you have it.
So there is that website that you can go to and you can buy the auction items. Although we were looking at that when we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and it's not really that big a bargain.
No.
Yeah, you would think. It's like, hey, you didn't pay anything to get that.
Exactly.
So this is 100% profit margin. Like, what are you doing?
Wait.
You ought to be able to make some money here.
Maybe they do pay for it. Here's a flat fee.
Well, I guess it's true.
Probably.
Maybe it could be something like that. Sue is doing the music today, which is really nice. So we are going to talk to Missouri Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger, who's had a full day. I'll just say it at that. We'll talk to him about what that means on the other side. It's Mike Elam for Mark Reardon at 97.1 FM Talk. Happy May Day, everybody. Welcome to May 1st. Hope you are enjoying your start of the brand new month. Very honored to be joined today with Missouri Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger, who's taking some time out of his busy schedule to join us on the phone. Lieutenant Governor, how are you, sir?
Well, it's been a busy day in Jefferson City. It's the National Day of Prayer today, so we had a lot of people praying for us today, and we need every prayer. So I hope your listeners are saying prayers that we can get through this next legislative session, which is going to end in a couple of weeks. So thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate the time. It's always good to have a Hannibal guy who makes his way all the way up to Jefferson City. So we appreciate your service. Hey, I wanted to ask you, because we talked about this a while back when I got an opportunity to interview you. This is your first elected office, and nothing like starting at the top, man. So you didn't go through the House and go through the Senate. You jumped right into lieutenant governor. And last time we talked, you were talking about how it's just been drinking from a fire hose through this first session, because you've been going through a lot for the first time. How has the session gone so far for you? Because I got to tell you, they've gotten a lot more done than they have in the previous years, but you've got different people that you're working with now.
That's correct, Mike. So I just celebrated my 100th day in office this past week.
Congratulations.
I ran as a conservative outsider to shake things up in Jefferson City. You know, in first office order, lieutenant governor in generations, as it has now sat in the state Senate. So it's been an eye-waking experience. I think things do need to be shaken up in Jefferson City. You know, I'm on a lot of boards and commissions. We've got 2 weeks to get a lot of big conservative ideas across the finish line. We'll see if we can get them done.
So I wanted to ask you about, you took a point of personal privilege earlier today. And I don't know how many of the senators knew this was coming, if any of them, but you took some time to thank your staff and everything that they've done to help you along the way. But you took some time also to basically tell the senators, we need to change the way things are getting done around here, because, quite frankly, they're not getting done around here the way they should be. Tell me a little bit about what was your thought process leading up to that, and did they know that this was coming?
So the short answer is no, they didn't know it was coming. I got up this morning. I had been in Waynesville, Missouri yesterday at Fort Leonard Wood. Several people asked me. They've gone through the budgeting process. There are over 260 earmarks for special interest projects that are flowing through behind closed doors in the state Senate last week, and they'll again take place again this week. And frankly, it is exactly what your listeners think of. It's, you know, it's lack of transparency, and it just kind of we need to change the rules in the Senate. You know, our Constitution in Missouri, the marijuana amendment alone, whether you like it or not, is in the Constitution. It's longer than the United States Constitution.
Yeah.
So our Missouri Constitution, because they don't get their job done in the state legislature, is probably 50 times longer than the United States Constitution. So I just mentioned, you know, we need to look at these rules. I'll give you an example, Mike. They debated for 2.5 hours earlier this week. I preside over the state Senate. You have minutes prepared for the day before. It referenced President Wassinger presiding. They debated for 2.5 hours whether or not you should say President David Wassinger presiding rather than just President Wassinger presiding.
You're kidding.
We wasted 2.5 hours of everyone's lives in that state Senate debating over whether or not my first name should be in the journal or in the minutes. So you tell me the system's not broken. So your listeners, you know, when they come in and hear those stories, I'm new to this. I see that. Like a couple of the state senators are upset with it. You know, I ran to shake things up in Jefferson City. So, you know, I made an announcement today in the state Senate. This system is broken.
So what kind of feedback did you get from the senators once you announced that?
Well, I think the more conservative senators recognize that. I actually wasn't the one person that kind of started. It was the state senator that was in the, I read a news story about him. He had been up all night on Tuesday night looking at all these earmarks, and he was just livid over it, lack of transparency. I read an article, and frankly, I quoted what was in the newspaper about him, and I joined in him. And I think the more conservative members of the legislature that want to get things done, you know, are all for me. You know, the more establishment, you know, swampy creatures, they probably despised every word that I said up on the Senate dais.
So tell me a little bit about the rules that you would like to see change. What do you think is really stopping, in particular, the Missouri Senate, which is a more deliberative body, to be fair, than the House? But what do you think is holding them up and needs to be addressed?
So we've had a supermajority of Republicans for years in the Missouri State Senate. We never get these big conservative ideas across the finish line. And part of that is you allow one or two or three state senators that are bought and paid for by the lobbyists and special interests, they will gum things up. Unlike, for example, the U.S. Senate, I don't want to get too far into the weeds. You can file a motion for cloture where, you know, you or to break a filibuster, you need 60 votes. Well, we don't have that in the Missouri Senate. And I think the rules, I think some people are going to come into my office in the next week or two. We're going to begin seeing, looking at these Senate rules and see if we can make some revisions to make Missouri great again and get these big conservative ideas across the finish line.
I'm sure the Democrats are probably hearing that and saying, I am not a fan of that. As a minority party, I want to be able to hold things up. Have they said anything to you?
No, the Senate Democrats have not said anything to me. But again, they're in the small minority in the legislature. You know, I ran as a conservative outsider, not as a liberal Democrat. You know, President Trump endorsed me to shake things up in Jefferson City. So this morning, I said things aren't working in the state Senate. We need to shake things up. We need to look at the Senate rules and see if we can get these big conservative ideas across the finish line. So the next 2 weeks will be telling, Mike, as to whether or not we can get Amendment 3 repealed and replaced. We can get Second Amendment issues addressed. Proposition A, which is the sick leave and, you know, these minimum wage issues that should have been statutorily done rather than through the Missouri Constitution. DEI, you know, we need to get rid of that in the state of Missouri. So these big conservative ideas need to get across the finish line in the next 2 weeks, and we'll see if it happens.
We're talking with Missouri Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger. So you just rattled off all the big things that have been talked about since last year, basically. And I know the first part of this year's session, they wanted to kind of take all the low-hanging fruit, or at least that's what I was told. They wanted to get all the low-hanging fruit that they thought they could passed and done, and they wanted to hold on some of the more controversial things that they felt were going to bog down the Senate. Tell me about, not to really ask you to do handicapping, but I'm going to ask you to do some handicapping. Out of all the stuff that you just laid out, how do you think those things are going to go, being that you only have 2 weeks left in the session?
Well, I think these Republicans, even the what I would call, you know, maybe Republicans in name only or the more swampy Republicans are going to be really under a microscope. And this Amendment 3, the repeal and replace, that is going to be looked at very, very hard. And I'm cautiously optimistic that'll get done.
When do you think they would go to put that on the ballot?
So it gets passed. I'd have to walk through, Missouri Senate passed that. It gets approved by the legislature. I don't know if that goes back on in August or if the governor selects as to when that's put on the ballot.
Okay. So we've got that one. So the minimum wage, it seemed like, from what I'm understanding, people don't necessarily want to touch the wage part of it, but it was more about the other parts of this bill that, generally speaking, when anytime you put a ballot issue on, the majority of voters, for better or worse, basically read the headline, and they don't really dig down beyond that. So a lot of people were talking about what the minimum wage bill really did in terms of paid time off for small business owners and how this was going to affect small business. Do you think that one is actually going to make it across the finish line?
You know, we're running out of time in 2 weeks. Again, and this is a creation of the legislature not getting things done. Whether you're for or against the minimum wage or sick leave, it should be through Missouri state statute, not through the Missouri Constitution. Similarly, marijuana amendment, gambling, you may or may not be for it, but it should not be embedded in the Missouri Constitution. Rather, the Missouri State Senate and the Missouri House of Representatives should have gotten their job done and gotten these ideas across the finish line rather than have these multi-billionaires from the East and West Coast come in and fund these initiative petition reforms to amend our Constitution. For example, online gaming, that changes. You know, 5 years from now, that's now in our Constitution. Technology changes a lot. Got a lot of lobbyists and special interests that were behind that. You know, you have to go back in, and rather than just go through the legislature, now you have to go through and do another constitutional amendment. So if you look at the Missouri Constitution, it is literally probably 50 times longer than the United States Constitution because the legislature has not been getting their job done.
I loved how you actually did show and tell today, and you held that up and showed the senators, here's what the Missouri Constitution looks like, here's what the United States Constitution looks like. So it's just kind of amazing of where things have gone, where things are, I guess, right now. I appreciate you being very forward in everything, being a leader on how things need to go, trying to make the legislature more efficient, if you will, sort of doge of rules. How about that? So
I think that's right, Mike. So we need your help. We really need you, your listeners, and you to call your legislators. And, you know, they go from campaign conservatives, and then when they end up in that Capitol, you know, they end up turning into something else. So we really need your listeners and the grassroots folks to reach out to their respective legislators and tell them to get these big conservative ideas across the finish line in the next couple of weeks.
Well, Lieutenant Governor, we appreciate you taking the time on jumping on with us today, and I'd like to follow up with you after the session is over and see if you can handicap how you think things went. Is that fair?
I'd be honored to do it, Mike. Thank you for having me on.
You got it. Hope you have a great weekend. That is Missouri Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger, who's joining us today. We're going to talk with George Rosenthal on the other side of ThrottleNet, and you're probably going to end up like I am and say, yeah, that password thing, I should probably figure that out. Because it sounds like if you're a good hacker, you can get into most of my stuff in, I don't know, 30 seconds or less. I guess the 123456 was a bad password. We'll talk to George on the other side. It's Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today as Ethan's watching me just sing along with King Harvest and Dancing in the Moonlight. I do love it when Sue picks the songs because this is like the songs of my childhood. When I was a little guy, my parents used to be in a bowling league. And I would run around the bowling alley, and this was the music that was always playing. So it was kind of cool. Hey, I want to get George Rosenthal on the horn with us here. He is the owner of ThrottleNet. George, how are you, sir?
Good. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for having me on.
By my pleasure. It's my first opportunity to get the opportunity to talk with you. I have heard your name so many times all around this building, as a matter of fact. And I want to talk to you about the Google stuff and things that are going on, because I don't get all of the different things that's going on in the Justice Department saying you got to sell Chrome. And I don't get all that stuff. But I want to leave time at the end of this because Fred was telling me about talking about passwords and sent me this whole big thing about how quickly hackers can get into your stuff. So give me a quick overview on this Justice Department fight with Google that's going on. And then I want to follow up after that.
Sure. I mean, well, Google, as everybody knows, is the biggest there is. Okay, they're controlling pretty much everything on search engines on the internet across the world, not just in America. They also had multi-billion-dollar deals with manufacturers and people like Apple and Android and any type of systems that they built so that they would be the default web browser. So every time you bought a device, whenever you use your browser, it would automatically pop up Chrome. And that was something they paid for. And that was to eliminate competition, such as putting Safari in, which is Apple's own browser, as the default. Or when using Android, not using Firefox or DuckDuckGo or anything else like that. So they've really dominated the entire industry, and they've done it through what they are calling, the government's calling, a breach of antitrust, which they have already lost a lawsuit in federal court. Now they're having a new trial just to see what the remedies are going to be to fix this whole antitrust breach. So they have actually been found guilty of breaching antitrust laws. So that's already happened. Now it's a matter of what the fallout's going to be. And if they have to sell Chrome, it's going to be a very big hit. Because that is the basis of everything that they're doing online. Now, of course, they're the number one search engine. That's going to take a lot to overcome. But they are literally locked out all of their competition.
Didn't we go through all this with Microsoft Internet Explorer way back when?
Absolutely. We sure did. The exact same thing's happening again, only now it's much, much bigger, because back then the internet was so new. Now you're talking about something that runs the world. And that's you know, they're the only game in town when it comes to that. They're also, you know, they have, because everything is so Google centric, they can then up their prices for all of their advertising online. So when you see a sponsored ad on a search, you know, that's something they're charging a lot more because they can, versus like a Bing or somebody, you know, any other search engine that's out there. So they really have cornered the market, and but they've done it in a way that isn't through so basically a better product or service. They've done it in a way that has bought their way into kicking the competition out.
Well, I want to follow up on that as we get down the road and find out what this fallout's going to be. But I'm kind of pushed for time. So I want to talk to you real quick about this password thing, because I have a feeling, George, that Mike's data is in jeopardy. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, passwords are very frustrating for everyone out there. They're also extremely important. Someday we'll get to the whole, you know, full biometrics, and we'll have chips in our hands or whatever, and that may be the future. I don't know.
Hands or heads, you know, could be either.
Hands or heads, either one. But right now it's a matter of trying to memorize 100 different passwords for 100 different sites you go to. And now, you know, you can basically do through social engineering, I can crack a password pretty quick by looking at your Facebook page and seeing what kind of dogs you have and what their names are, and trying to figure out your dogs are now your passwords. So there's a lot of things out there that everybody puts out on social media, not thinking it's going to harm them. But through social engineering, it's not hard to crack a password unless you've done it the right way. And just changing an O to a zero in your password is not going to do it. So now it's all about pass phrases. It's all about writing a sentence like you normally would, a capital letter, some spaces, some punctuation, and actually writing a sentence out the exact same way you would normally with a pen and paper. And then, of course, it's making sure you don't use the same password on every single system you use. Like, the password on your bank should not be the password at work. So if somebody cracks your work password, now they're in your personal banking system. Do not do that. And I know it's very hard to remember all these passwords, so I would highly recommend using a password vault. And there's a couple different good competitors out there, but the one I use, and we are not a reseller of this, but the one I use is called LastPass, LastPass. And it goes on your phone, your tablet, your web browser, everywhere you use the internet. And all you have to have is one master password for LastPass or whatever password vault you use. And it will create all of the future passwords for you. You don't even know what they are. And it will pre-populate that in your browser and on your phone and so forth. So it's very important. Number one, don't use the same password on all systems that you use. Number two, switch from a password to a passphrase. And three, look into a password vault type software system that can help you manage all of your passwords.
George, that's awesome. Thank you. LastPass is what I'm going to use. I'm so much better at remembering phrases that this makes me happy instead of adding a, you know, whatever at the end. So hooray.
Absolutely. Any phrase like that can take up to hundreds of years to crack, but it's also going to be easier for you to remember. I'm a huge Seinfeld fan, so I use a lot of lines that Kramer used to say. Or you can use, you know, your favorite song lyric, your favorite movie line. Maybe it's a positive aspirational phrase, like it's going to be a good day today, exclamation point. Something that is a phrase, using using spaces, capital letters, and not just changing a one to an exclamation point or an exclamation point to a one. Don't do that.
George, that's awesome. Thank you so much for all of that. I wish I had more time.
Absolutely.
I could actually spend an hour with you, brother.
Yes.
That's George Rosenthal. He is the owner of ThrottleNet, and we are going to talk with Eric Lindberg. Yep, that Lindberg on the other side on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.